Last fall, Oregonians voted to pass Measure 110, which is popularly known as the drug decriminalization measure. Recently, Senate Bill 755 passed the Oregon State House, and that's going to go even further to enforce some of those protections for people who are caught with drugs that are federally illegal. I have with me today Tara Hurst from the Health Justice Recovery Alliance. And Tara, could you tell me a little bit more about what Senate Bill 755 is going to accomplish?
Sure. Senate Bill 755 is, you know, basically when voters do approve ballot measures, the legislature really has to go in and make sure that it is aligned with kind of how the state laws work. And so Senator Prezonsky, who's the chair of the Judiciary Committee and also the Ballot Measure 110 Implementation Committee, pulled together a diverse group of stakeholders everywhere, everyone from law enforcement and the district attorneys to our groups, Partnership for Safety and Justice, Coalition of Communities of Color, quite a wide array of folks to make sure that the legislature could implement this the way the voters intended. And that was really our role. So a couple things that it added or changed, really to make clarifications and also to, you know, I would say strengthen the law. One of the things it does is the law had said that the funding would go to these addiction recovery centers, which really created a lot of confusion that there was this intent to build these brick and mortar centers in every CCO region, which was also confusing because most people don't know what a CCO region is. And so we changed that to basically what we're talking about is making sure that all these recovery and harm reduction services are available to folks in all 36 counties. And those counties are really meant as geographical regions and not necessarily that it's going through the county government. Some places that may be the best bet, but other places, it's really about just ensuring that people have access to safe housing, that they have access to harm reduction services, that they have access to low barrier treatment options. And so that's a really, I think, exciting for me because I'm deep in the weeds of the policy, exciting change. You know, some other things that were very important, the measure was silent on what happened to youth and kind of where, you know, what a citation would mean for a youth. So this changed it from youth still being involved in the adult system, which is something that most criminal justice advocates and youth justice advocates really want to keep youth separate because there is a whole system that are, you know, trained to do the assessment and make sure that the resources are available. So that goes to the juvenile system if a youth gets citation. And then, you know, one that I think is really important and was maybe an oversight of the measure was making sure that there's a specific set aside for tribes and making sure that the tribes get a set aside for the funding and the drug addiction recovery treatment fund, I believe it's called.
So you talked a little bit about funding and how that's going to be allocated. Could you speak to that a little bit more? How is funding going to go towards creating or like bolstering these services for harm reduction?
Yeah, so the legislature actually this last session, since it just ended at the end of June, after we started talking to all these different providers on the ground and they talked about the struggles that they were having just keeping staff because of, you know, the pandemic, partially because of the pandemic, partially because our behavioral health care workforce is completely underfunded and underpaid for the work that they do. And, you know, our overdose deaths have doubled, if not tripled. And it's at an alarming rate. We're losing a lot of folks to a preventable healthcare situation. So this money is basically what we were able to do was get some money allocated early. And that was $20 million last last biennium. And OHA, the Oregon Health Authority, put out a request for grant proposals and for $10 million of that those dollars. And there was actually over $40 million in applications over a two-week period. So we saw just how big of a need there was. And they were able to award 10. The Senate Bill 755 actually added another $13 million to help fund the rest of those grants. Mm-hmm. And I say that because that's going to be, it's not going to be the same process moving forward, but it's going to be somewhat similar. So the Oversight and Accountability Council, which was created by Ballot Measure 110, is really this revolutionary council made up of predominantly people with lived experience, as well as addiction doctors and scientists and, you know, the and researchers, but really an emphasis on most impacted communities and people with lived experience. They are in the process, and they've been working extremely hard, especially for volunteers, coming up with what are our values? How do we want to make sure that these funds really get to where you know, it's intended, what the voters intended and what we know is so critical. So these are services that aren't funded by Medicaid, but these are services that are life-saving and can really help somebody go from a, tragic outcome to something living their healthier lives. There's $302 million that is forecasted to come towards these services for the first, for this next biennium, so 21 to 23. And those dollars are really going to be overseen in conjunction with the health authority and the state legislature, and made sure that are they setting up these services or expanding these services in all 36 counties? Or, you know, and if they are they also focused on ensuring that this money is really going towards people who've been most impacted by the war on drugs, which in Oregon is Black, Latinx, and Indigenous, Native, and Tribal communities?
What is the current state of addiction and addiction services in Oregon? And what are some of the communities that are the most affected right now? And it's kind of a follow-up question to that. People have talked about the previous year and the COVID-19 epidemic spiking addiction rates. Have we seen a lot of that in Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have seen a lot of that. And so the state of Oregon, when it comes to addiction and addiction services, we're basically worse in both. So we're in the top four for rates of addiction, top four in the country. So we have the highest rates of use and abuse, and we have, we're in the bottom, you know, it depends on who you talk to, but let's say 48th, 49th, or 50th when it comes to access to services. So we can only go up with these investments, and meaning that more people will have access and will not have to wait in these devastating wait lines to get into any some sort of service, whether that's safe housing or low barrier treatment or harm reduction services. And what we're seeing is you know, there was a 70% increase in overdose deaths year from, I think it was 2020 spring to 2019. And, you know, we're seeing a much bigger spike. It's a lot harder to stay drug and alcohol free when you're used to having your community, and it's really about making sure that you're around your community and have that support that is the lifeline. And with COVID and the pandemic, although groups and organizations did the best they could, a lot of folks, it was just too much. We're seeing a lot more people in our needle exchanges and other places who hadn't been in years, if not a decade. So it's definitely gotten worse. And, you know, I think that the hope for me is that with these kinds of dollars consistently and sustainably flowing into community and really community-based providers, what you had talked about, who are the most impacted? Well, the people going to jail in Oregon for these types of, at the time, crimes, and now citations, are primarily, you know, it's an overrepresentation of Black, Latinx, and Indigenous, tribal, and Native communities. And so those are the communities that are most impacted. And, you know, also rural communities who have no to little access to services. So you may have to drive 2 hours each way to get medical assisted treatment.
You spoke a little bit about the communities that have been most affected and how, you know, your organization and the state bill are hopefully reducing those barriers for receiving treatment and receiving care. I also wanted to ask you about homeless populations and people who have criminal convictions and, you know, generally might not have access to services that are available to other people, whether it's housing or treatment. Does Senate Bill 755 take steps to help convicted felons and homeless people in particular? Or do you think there's more work that needs to be done?
So I'll take those two separately. People with criminal records, you know, a lot of the programs that some of the programs that were funded through Senate Bill or before Senate Bill 755, but through Measure 110 funds, were two groups that work with formerly incarcerated or people coming just coming out of the prison system and helping them transition back into life. And so, you know, that's anywhere from like connecting them to housing, connecting them to work, whatever the case is. And it's usually kind of all of the above, right? Including just getting a bus pass. So those some of those organizations saw some funding, and our hope is that as this law gets implemented and the money goes out, it really does go to some of these incredible organizations that are doing the on the ground frontline work with communities. We still need to work on the expungement component of this. So, you know, we do want to see that if you were arrested before, or if you have something on your record that would now be just a citation from Measure 110, that would automatically go off your record. And that's a conversation that started in the legislature, and it's a conversation that needs to continue. There was some funding to get some of these records automated, which is actually a really big and important step, because you can't get things off of people's records if we don't have the systems in place to do it easily. That's what we found after ballot measure 91 with marijuana, is that you can set up a fund, you can set up an expungement process, but if people don't know about it, it's not easy to get. So it really needs to be free and automatic, and that's what we're working towards. That's, you know, kind of a little bit of what, you know, the intent is, that you shouldn't, because you're struggling with a health issue, you should not also end up with barriers to housing and employment, which is exactly what the war on drugs and the war on people have done by trying to arrest our way out of this addiction crisis. So the, you know, and I think that low barrier treatment services and housing, if we can have more, if we can invest in more low barrier housing and housing that is set up to really help folks transition off the streets and into a safe space, excuse me, and get the services they need, that is going to ultimately help with, you know, some of the folks who are struggling in our houseless population and homeless population who need those services, but are either put through detox and then sent back out onto the street with no housing and no support. So I do think that as we move forward, it's about the investment, right? Because right now, you know, we've heard from Central City Concern that I think it was 3 out of 10 or 7 out of 10 folks walk out of Hooper Detox with no housing. And there's just no way to sustain that. That is a completely, it's an unfortunate state of affairs that we're living in right now, and we need to invest in in this housing and making sure that the groups like Bridges to Change and Fresh Out and Miracles Club for, you know, our friends in Portland and in the Multnomah County have access to more housing so that they can really help folks.
Tara, thanks so much for joining me today and talking a little bit about Senate Bill 755 and Measure 110.
Yeah, thanks so much for covering it. It's really exciting. It's going to be, it is a transformational law, and I'm really excited to be kind of at the beginning stages of it.